Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Hey everybody, how are we this morning? Oh, look at you, you're such a good looking bunch of people. High five the person next to you, say you're glad that they came to church today. That you get to sit next to them. No one high-fived you, bro. High-five him. Somebody. Now we're in. All right, you can grab your seat, and we're going to open up the Word together. We're going to pray and get stuck into it today. All right. God, we thank you today for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that as we gather together to eat a meal around this word today, God, I'm asking, Lord, would you satisfy the deepest part of our hearts, the deepest part of our hungers and desires, Lord? Would you come and meet us today right where we're at? And would you allow your word to speak into our hearts, a word that is in season and a word that would open our eyes to see you, to see your purpose more clearly, and open our ears to hear the Spirit of God and the call of wisdom, I ask in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, we have hit that time of the year where it's like everything is back into motion. Who's excited about that? Yep. Pastor Wayne and I were talking throughout the last couple of weeks. He's super excited about the weeks to come and all that the Lord has for us in 2026. And I've been just spending some time with the Lord. And Pastor Wayne passes on his hellos to you. He said to tell you, just to say hello, that he and Lynn are praying for you. And as we've been praying and just seeking the Lord about 2026, together as a leadership team and as a staff even, we've been leaning in towards the end of last year in all things preparation for this year. And we are excited and expectant. You know, I was as I was thinking about this, I went out and did some shopping, as you do, on a weekend. Anyone get out to the shops yesterday? Yep. It was a nice day to get out to the shops because it was raining. What is with this weather? I mean, somebody tell us Melbourne to wake up and get some consistency. It's summer. And I was so disappointed that we have landed again today at 20 degrees. Some of the people walked in today and they're so grateful for it. Bless you. I'm mostly disappointed. I like consistency, right? Amen. Someone on the front row agrees. But I went out and did some shopping and did a few things and got myself a little bit of a neck massage, had a bit of a kink in the neck after a workout. And I was like, you know what? I just feel like having a Boost juice. So I went out and went to Boost. Who loves a Boost juice? Yeah. Who doesn't know what Boost juice is? Pray for you later. But I went to help myself at the counter to the lady and just sort of said, hey, look, can I get a gym junkie or a recovery junkie, whatever the smoothie is. I can't even remember the name of it, but it was that good. And I went there and she goes, are you a part of our membership? And I was like, no, not really interested. So she, as she says it, she swipes this card in front of the barcode, gives it to me and says, you'll get, after you buy 10, you'll get one free. I was like, 10. Okay. Now, most of us walk into shops every day and you walk in and they're like, are you a Perks member? All those who shop at like JJ's and Cotton On. And you walk in other places and they're like, are you a member with us? And you're like, no, but like sometimes you want to say yes just so they don't ask you for any more details. Am I the only one? At this time of year, I find that everyone is trying to sign you up to something, whether it's the latest credit card, whether it's the latest membership, whether it's the latest gym membership. Who here joined the gym in January? All the hands? Anyone? Yes, my friend down here. Anyone else joined the gym in January? Yep, another one here. Anyone else? Anyone else? Who's already part of a gym membership? Look at all my fit people. Come on. All my front row, second row here should be raising their hands. Got the guys here from our gym church that's happening. The guys there do an incredible job reaching out to people. But gym memberships. It's that time of year where everyone's joining up for something. Who joined a pickle? No, what is it? Pickleball? I nearly said pickle juice. Too much tennis for me. Who joined pickleball? Anyone join a tennis club in the last month? Are you all just fat and lazy? I see those hands. That's awesome. But at this time of year, everyone's trying to get to sign you up to some sort of membership. Would you agree? It's that time of year where we reassess everything and we think about everything. And as this lady passed me this juice thing, membership, I stuck it in my car and I thought, I'm probably going to lose that. I'll probably get another 10 more before I ever get one free. But you know, one thing I discovered is that everyone has got a club that they want you to join. Everybody's got a club they want you to join. But you know, the Lord started to speak to me about this idea about the call to actually go and make disciples. And he started to talk to me about this whole thing around the church is not a club. And I started to process this and I sat with the Lord and he just gave me a little bit of a download. He's like, clubs exist for comfort, but churches are for co-laborers. Clubs give you entry when you pay or your email. And churches are open and free for all because Jesus paid the price. A clubs exist for personal benefit, for what you can get from them. Churches exist for personal contribution. A clubs are interest-based, but churches are mandate-driven. Clubs you attend, churches you gather as the family. A clubs exist for community, but churches exist to transform the community. Can I ask us a question? Do we see church as a club? Or do we see church as the great commission and the place where we gather together, where the Lord empowers us? See, clubs focus on rewards, but the church focuses you on storing up heavenly rewards. Clubs run for the benefit of groups, but churches run for the benefit of others. Clubs will actually give you a code of conduct, but the church gives you a moral compass to live by. Clubs give you success based on a leader, but churches succeed beyond any leader because it's dependent on Jesus being the head of the church. See, clubs come and go and churches are here to stay. Yeah. Clubs are made up of members and churches are made up of disciples. Yeah. So let's take a look at Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20 for our text today as we launch into 2026. Verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Friends, can I just say this, that worship should always lead to mission? We're a people who worship and we love worship as a part of our service. But if our worship doesn't lead to making disciples, I question if our worship is for us or for God. Because they gathered together on this mountain with Jesus in his resurrected form, and they have this moment where they worship him. Now, worship is a lifestyle, but in this moment, I'm imagining them worshiping him because now they understood who he was. But he didn't leave them on the mountain. He came back down into the valley, into the life of an everyday person for this very purpose. And Jesus said, and he came and he spoke to them and he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the very end of the age." Friends, I want to tell you today that the Lord has called us to go and make disciples. And he actually tells us that all authority in heaven and earth had been given to him, therefore we go. That authority has been given to us. It is an endued power, a strength to be able to go into places and exercise that same authority, that same power, that same right to influence and to begin to bring those things to reality, a power to rule. that has been given to us. Do you know that Romans tells us that you and I are co-heirs with Christ? Galatians tells us the same thing, but did you know that Ephesians tells us that you and I are seated in heavenly places? Friend, do you know what you're a part of? This is not a club. This is a church that lives with a mandate that has been given for over 2,000 years. I'm telling you, there aren't many clubs around that go beyond a couple of hundred. Because clubs come and go, but I'm telling you now, the church will go on until Jesus returns for his bride. And this is what you and I are a part of. We're not a part of a club for perks or for membership or for rewards. We're a part of something that we get to contribute to, that we get to be a part of, this great commission that he has given to us. What a privilege that you and I are a part of the biggest mandate on earth. We're not a part of a political club trying to get agendas across the table. We're not a part of any other group trying to make something happen. We're a part of something that God authorized and Jesus came and initiated you and I and called us into the very realm of go and make disciples. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do this year. We're going to go and make disciples of every generation that we can find. I love the church because when I look around the church, she's so diverse. She's so beautiful. Clubs are exclusive, but the church is inclusive. And we gather together, there is every race and every tongue in the room today. And I look across it and I go, where else can you find this? Where they come together, centralized around one thing, the one thing being Jesus. He is our King, he is our Lord, he is our Savior, and he is the one who has called us to his great mandate together. We're so privileged to be a part of what he has called us to. We share in his authority, we share in his access, we share in his victory, but we share in his mission. We share in his mission. You know, the word go, when Jesus says, as a result of having inherited and being given back what was yours initially, this right, this authority, this power, he says, go. You know, I'm a part of a gym, Orange Theory. I've talked about it a lot over the last 8 years that I've been here. And most of you will know, and if you don't know, check it out. Big evangelist for Orange Theory. It's great. But I go to this gym. And when you walk in there, they're greeting you. They're talking to you. That you walk in there, you feel wonderful. They're there to make you comfortable to work out and to get into those spaces to make you uncomfortable in order to get you better. And so they put you through these processes that sometimes we don't like. And we get on, I get onto this machine and they have this moment where they say, there's three paces we want you to work out. There's base pace, push pace, and all out pace. Now, most of us in the room are probably going to settle for the idea of a base pace. Let's just stay there. But it's where you get the growth is when you go to the push pace and the all out pace. And we get on the treadmill and you start on the tread and as you're on the tread and you're there, you're meant to press the button that says start. And the coach will say, okay guys, go ahead and get yourselves to base, which means push yourself to get yourself going. And he stands there and he talks and gives you instructions about, okay, now raise it up. We're going to go to push pace, 1 to 2 Ks above your base pace. And he leads you through this process. Do you know half the struggle and half the challenge is just starting and getting going? And sometimes he'll come back and be like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I told you all to start at base, and we're all still just like kind of walking. The whole 12 treadmills are all walking. He's like, I'm pretty sure I told you to get to base. And he'll come sometimes become a little bit frustrated because he's given an instruction, but nobody's listening. Sometimes I feel like that's how the Lord looks at his church. Oh, I love the fact that you come and worship me, but I wish you would do what I asked you to do. I wish you would do the last thing I told you to do. The last command that he gave us was to go and make disciples. Some of us just stop at go. You know, when you sit at a traffic light and the person has not gone when it's a green light, how much that frustrates you? I got a housemate. Hey, it's green. It's green. Sometimes it's just like, it's so obvious, and it's so frustrating because it's like, go. When was the last time you and I actually took the Lord at his command and actually went? Not went to church, but actually go to make a disciple. Whew. See, go is not inactive. It requires movement. It requires us to leave something and go to something else. And more often than not, we actually have to leave the comfort of our people, our friends, and what we know and step out into something we don't know to bring somebody and reach somebody and bring them into a place where they can experience the same. But it all starts with go. You know, I love kids. Kids are awesome. Kids are so childlike. You know, it's really funny. I went to the tennis with a couple of different people over the time, and one day we went with some kids, and kids are just, they're enamored by everything. Everything's so big and so large and so wonderful, and they just want to have a go at anything. Have you ever raced a kid? Like, you have to let their little legs go faster than yours so that they can win, you know, like. But I sat with some kids over the course of summer and literally played races and would run and just do a little like jog to run. And you know what they were waiting for? On your marks, get set, go. As soon as go happens, their little legs are sprinting as fast as they can. And I'm pretending that my legs go faster, but they don't. This word go is not motionless. And church, we can't afford to be motionless. Because a church without a voice, a church that is silenced, a church that is no longer on mission, will actually cease to be the church. Because we'll die and bury ourselves. Hopefully someone will bury me. But like, we'll get to the point where she's done. Because it's dependent on us working with the Lord when he says co-labor with him in reaching people. It requires us to go, but it also requires us to make. Friends, to make something means to teach or to instruct somebody in something. And the dictionary says to carry out an action, like to go and make a cake. Did you know, friends, that it's that simple that you go, oh, how do I make a cake? There's instructions. Did you know that the Bible has instructions for you on how to make a disciple? Did you know that the church can gather together and empower you to read the ingredients list, get all the bits and pieces, and actually follow a method and actually succeed at what he's called you to do? Whoo! I'm looking around the room and I can see some of the best cakes are yet to be made. I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing a group of people who, and let me say this, there are a lot of people in this room that live this very message. There are a lot in this room who live this very message. And I feel like the Lord is calling us all up into that same space. For 2026, that we would be a church that would go and make to teach and to train somebody else what I have learned, what you have learned, and what you know. We're going to teach you more about these things. I'm just running through them today. But like, let me say this. Disciples don't just hang out with others. They need to teach others what they have been taught. It's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough just to high-five your Christian friends. It's actually a calling for us to go and make disciples. And disciple is somebody who is a student or a pupil who is willing to follow or in pursuit of the master and the teacher. Disciples didn't just be, they actually reproduce themselves. And that's the only reason why you and I are here today. And some of you are here because someone invited you. And some of you are here because someone shared Jesus with you. Some of you are here because you heard about Jesus on the radio. Some of you are here because someone at the gym told you about Jesus. But friends, the reality is you can't make a disciple without being one. And you can't be one without the gospel being shared. I'm going to say that again. You can't make a disciple without being one. And you can't be one without the gospel being shared. Friends, we have a mandate where the gospel has to be shared in order for someone to become a disciple. And you and I get to partner with this incredible privilege. And Paul asks this question in Romans 10. Do you remember it in Romans 10, 14? Where he says literally, well, how can they call on him whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Friends, you and I are that preacher. You and I are the ones who are called to go and proclaim. You're not called to save anyone, but you are called to share. It's in the sharing of good news that good news can be received. You'd find this really interesting that I guess at the end of the day, when Jesus stated his pure summary of his purpose in Luke 19:10 was that I came to seek and to save the lost. Do you know that word seek in the Greek is the word zeto, and it means to seek in order to find. It means to seek a thing, to seek by thinking, by meditating, by reasoning, to inquire into, to seek after, to seek for, to aim at, or to strive after. To seek in a requirement or a demand, to actually crave or demand something from somebody. Friend, when was the last time that we sought the lost? When was the last time we had a demand on ourselves to go and make a disciple? When was the last time that we strived to go and make a disciple? When was the last time that we actually meditated or even thought about leading someone to the Lord? Or when was the last time we craved sharing this good news to go and make disciples? I'm just going to be really honest with you. I'm probably the most frustrated evangelist ever. Right now, I've been asked to step in and lead in this season, and I have so almost for coming up to 12 months in this space, and I've loved it, and I love people, and I love the sheep. But I got to tell you, January was really hard for me. I sat back and I was like, Lord, where's the one? Where's the one that I'm reaching? Where's the one that I'm raising? And where's the one that I'm releasing? And I kind of felt like the Lord encouraged me and said, well, Cherie, you're raising and releasing leaders. To do the same, you're doing that well, but where's the one? Oh, I said, man, I'm so perplexed by this. I'm just like you. I got a job, got things to do, places to be, people to see, expectations that people have on me, got family, got things, But if I'm really honest with you, I'm not just preaching this message to us as a church, I'm preaching it to myself. The call to go and make disciples has to go beyond the four walls of this church. It has to. It cannot stay within the four walls. And when was the last time that you or I just didn't see church like she was a club? When was the last time that you and I came in with an expectation that we brought somebody with us? Where we shared the gospel this week? Or we brought someone into a space where they encountered the love of God, the power of God, the healing nature of God? I found myself sitting with the Lord and he said, Cherie, I didn't come to start a club or for you to actually just go to church. I didn't come so that you could serve once a month or get a membership. I didn't come to be entertained, to consume or just to enjoy or just to get my benefits and my rewards. Hello, free coffee, somebody said this month. Yay, out the foyer. But he said, Cherie, I came to seek and save the lost. And actually, Jesus had a lot more to say about that. Because when he said to us as disciples, go and make disciples, in Luke 19:23, he says, if anyone desires to come up after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Is everyone feeling convicted right now by the Lord? My heart was, I sat with the Lord and I was like, Lord, I want to take your invitation. I want to get beyond my world, my days, my life, and actually live a life that reflects not only me carrying my cross as a representative of Jesus to a world, but with a message that says, hey, I've got good news for you. See, a lifestyle of a disciple is actually making disciples. And Jesus went on to say in Luke 14:27, he says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Oh, wow. It's like trying to say you're something when you're not. It's like, if I convince myself long enough, I'm a fit tennis player, I'll be a fit tennis player. Anyone who saw my AO moment, you will understand that is not the case. It's not about trying to convince ourselves, but it's actually just in receiving who he says that he is for us, and that as we share, we get about the business of making disciples. See, a church on mission is more than a church with a missions department. It's a people who seek to live on mission. And if you come for any other reason, friend, I'm telling you right now that you are not a part of a church, you're a part of a club. You're a part of a community. You may be even part of a worship experience. But that's not what the church is. The church is called to go and to make disciples. And what that looks like for us is that we will make disciples of every generation in this church. From now until the day Jesus returns. And friends, I'm telling you now, right now, some of you might be sitting here going, well, we're just waiting for the next senior pastor to turn up to give us the vision and tell us what we're doing. Friends, it's in the Bible. You don't need the next leader to come and tell you what to do or what the church is to do. We are a church on mission. We are called to make disciples of every generation, from the littlest kid right through to the eldest elder in this building. We are called to make disciples. And so this year, that's what we're going to do. We're going to reach people. We're going to raise people up. And we're going to release them to do the same. We're going to make disciples of every generation. We're going to reach more, we're going to raise more, and we're going to release more to the full purposes that God has for each and every single one in order that his mission would be achieved. That his vision for a world, lost people, to come to know him would be achieved. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should know him. And it's crazy to think that he uses you and I. Have you just looked at yourself in the mirror lately? Like, I have moments where I stand before the Lord and I go, are you serious? You called me to be a part of this? Do you know me? He's like, yep. Friend, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you've been saved 5 minutes, maybe you've been saved 5 months, maybe you've been saved 5 decades. It don't matter. He calls you to go and make disciples. Yeah. And if you ain't making disciples, you're a part of a club. Yeah. And you might also be a member that has opinions. Should do this, should do that. Jesus is like, just get on with it. Get on with the business of saving souls. Get on with the business of reaching people. Get on the business with transforming a community and stop complaining about the community he placed you in. Whoo! We're going to extend ourselves to reach someone. We're going to make a decision to strengthen disciples. And we are going to go in the act and releasing people. And we're going to dive into that over the next 3 weeks. And Pastor Wayne's going to come and he's going to preach and share a word to encourage us as we lean into 2026. But friends, I tell you this right now. We exist to reach, raise, and release. And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it through every generation. We're going to make disciples. And so in order to be able to do that, it's important for you to know what stage of the life that you are in that God has given to you, what stage do you find yourself? Are you a mature adult? Are you an adult? Have you got kids? Have you got youth? Are you a youth? Are you a child? We are inviting you into this next month to actually lean in to be about what he's all about in building his church. So I'm going to invite to the stage, or the platform, I should say, sorry. I'm going to invite to the platform our team, and I'm going to introduce to you the team who are our staff team here at Melbourne City. who are going to help you understand over these next 3 weeks how we are going to do exactly that, make disciples of every generation. And so as the team come to the platform, that would be amazing. It's important you know who's who in the Zoom. It's important you know who's leading you in this season. And so this is the team as they come up. Why don't you give them a round of applause? They're a good-looking bunch. Awesome. Somebody on the microphone. We've got a second mic. Amazing. Someone's got it. Can hear it rustling. Yep, here we are. Awesome. So this is our team. Why don't you give it up for our team? I've had the privilege of leading this team for the last 12 months, really quite personally and upfront, and it's been a joy and a pleasure to actually get to know each and every single one of them, the gift, the call, the grace that is on their life, and their willingness to pick up their cross and to follow the Lord. Anyone who knows it, if you want money, you're in the wrong business coming to church. That ain't anything. If you want position and power, that ain't the right thing. We're here to serve. And so you look across the room right now, and I'm telling you, every single one of you is equal to these ones, and these are equal to you, because we are all part of the family of God, just stewarding what He has given to us. Is that okay? All right, I'm going to introduce you to some of the team right now. I'm going to start over here on my right, and I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves to you. Here we go. At the front, right now.
Oh, are we on? Yo. Hey, guys. My name is Alyssa, for those of you I haven't met. I have the honour of leading our kids' ministry here at NUMA, and I'm... I'm also the wife of Pastor Kane over here. Oh, yeah. And if you are curious about kids' ministry or passionate about ministering to the next generation, come and chat to us, myself or Kane. That's me.
Am I gone?
Yeah. Hey, everyone. I'm Matt. I have the honor and privilege I get to lead our youth ministry. If you're in youth, give us a yell. And my job is really just reaching young people, raising people, and leading teenagers, and we get to lead them into an encounter with Jesus. It's the best job. I love it. I've gone from being a youth leader to a youth pastor, and it's low-key the best thing I've ever done. So apart from giving my life to Christ, so that's me. It's nice to meet you. Come and say hi at the end of the service if you haven't met me before. So yeah.
Come on.
So good. My name is Jess, and I have the privilege of leading our young adults. So if you just stepped into the adult stage, no longer a teenager, and you're still trying to figure out your life, then we're your people. We're all figuring it out together. But I just love leading the young adult generation as we pursue Jesus together.
Yeah, go for it. Hi, everyone. My name is Deepu. I lead the adults ministry here. I look after life groups, pre-marriage, and adult pastoral care. So if you want to join a life group or be connected, or if you're getting married and if you need help with that space, find me. And also help me, I'm myself trying to figure out how to adult. So I would need all the help that I could get. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Liz, and I lead our church care of the church, and that is pastoral care, births, deaths, and marriages, the prayer ministry areas such as SOZO ministry and others, and also have the honour of leading our mature adults in power. They are amazing.
Hi, everyone. My name's Thomas. I look after all things discipleship, so I actually get to sit alongside a lot of these ones, looking after life group, life group curriculum and training for life group leaders, courses, alongside, again, the relevant pastor that's overseeing that area. And I also look after our connections space, so new people and new Christians, helping them to find people and find Jesus.
Come on.
So good.
Morning, my name's Kane, and I oversee our missions and outreach departments of our church. And essentially what that looks like is looking after our 17 missionaries that are working overseas, empowering our church to live on mission, both globally but also locally. And across all of our Numa campuses, we want to empower people to live a life on mission, to make disciples of all nations, and also in our own backyard. Come so on. That's a little bit about what I do.
Hi, everyone. My name's Sam. I have the privilege of leading and serving in our creative team, which looks after your band, vocals, your audio, lights, cameras, sound. Yeah, it's great fun, great team. You should be a part of it. So,
yeah. Hey, church, I'm the other Matt. So I'm production support under Sam here, and my job is to, my role is to make sure everything kind of works on a production level. Fault finding, fixing issues, which is a weekly thing at the moment.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, but I just want to say I'm grateful for our production team. They're hardworking, dedicated, sensitive to the spirit, and you guys make my role really easy.
So. Great. Hey, church. My name's Declan, and I am the city worship support. And my role is just to help support Sam and the worship team. So if you have any questions about worship, I probably won't answer and I'll send you to Sam, but that's okay. I'll do my best. Love you guys.
Morning, I'm Barb. And I've got the great privilege to lead the bookshop team. It's just wonderful to have great resources for all generations, where you find dad and have a lovely smile of the team and welcoming atmosphere and all that. And also, I actually do reception during the week, so you might get me on the phone or answering an email or something.
Great. Come on.
Good morning, church. I'm Mark. My role here is the services pastor, and what that looks like is alongside Pastor Cherie and Pastor Sam, we go through the week and ensure that you guys have an amazing service each and every Sunday where the presence of God is felt and invited. And other things that I do is I also look after the facility. So when it comes to cleaning, making sure that facilities work, that's on me. And some of the things that we also do within that space is Working Bees. So again, if you love this church and you love this house, we'd love you to participate in Working Bees coming up this year.
Hi everyone, I'm Jodie. I'm all things communication, which is digital, social media, screens, there's a lot of things. So if you love social media, making a reel, or love Canva and getting on there and doing stuff, please come and see us afterwards.
Hi everyone, my name is Shireeni. I look after all things video and media. Yes, go media! Yay! So that is like filming, editing, photography, all that. And I also work very closely and raise up our photography team. Shout out to our photography team if you see your photos. So if you like to talk all things cameras, please come and see me. I will talk all day about it.
Awesome. Come on. Can you give it up for our team? Stay there. Now, I want to say this. This team is made up of some full-timers and part-timers. We have been through massive restructure in recent times, and this is the team that have ploughed, have stayed, have worked, and have committed themselves to moving forward. And this team here are not the ones who do the work of the ministry as such, although they have a responsibility to do that. In their roles, they're here to train and equip you for the work of ministry. So their role exists to equip, to encourage, to empower you to be effective in you going and making disciples. They'll join you alongside you doing the going and the making of disciples. But this team, in all of the areas that they oversee an incredible number of volunteers that we could not fit on the platform. And if you want to be a part of moving forward in 2026 in going and making disciples, can I recommend that you do a self-reflection this year? As you may have done at the start of the year, do I need to lose a few kilos? Do I need to do a bit more exercise? Do I need to save a bit more money? Could you go and do a reflective assessment with the Lord and ask yourself this question? Where am I reaching people? How am I raising people? And how am I releasing people? And find your next step and then find the right person to speak to. Is that okay? Because friends, this church is like an engine. And in order for an engine to keep going, A, we need the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the oil of the Holy Ghost. But we need all the right parts. And the Bible says that you are a part of the body of Christ. He is leading his church. You make up the parts and the members of the body. The question is, which part do you play? And let me tell you this, there is not one insignificant part or person in the body of Christ. He has given you gifts, talents, and graces and calls you to be a part of making disciples. Our role is to equip you to be able to do that. And not just in the four walls of the church, but outside, where a world needs a transformation that is only possible by the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? Awesome. Can you give it up for our team as they take their way off? Thank you, team. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It is the greatest privilege to lead in this season, and I totally understand I'm in an interim space, and I trust the Lord with the future. I have no plans to go anywhere. I've got nothing going on, but I trust the Lord with whatever is in the next season for his church and what he has. But what I will not give up on, what I will not walk away from, is the mission that he's given to each and every single one of us. Church, could you stand to your feet in this moment, and we are just simply going to pray. It's kind of funny. I was praying and asking the Lord, how do I deliver this, Lord, with love? Because the evangelist's role is to, you know, provoke and excite and invite people into a space of, you know, sharing the good news of the gospel. And he just said, Sheree, if they get a revelation of how much they love me, they'll love others. And my prayer is this, that today the Lord, as he has invited you into a place of understanding a responsibility, would reveal to you how much he loves you and actually how much he loves the world around you. Your world of influence that he sees and knows by name, knows the hairs on their heads, and wants them to be saved, has called you to partner with him. And if you would love to be a part of that this year, I'm just going to ask you to simply raise your hands before the Lord and say, yep, Lord, I'm in. I'm in, and I commit myself to you and the call to go and make disciples. Show me your love and transform me by your love that I might love others. So Lord, right now I thank you for every person in this room with hands raised that says, I'm in, Lord. I'm into the call to make disciples, whether it's here or elsewhere. I'm in to go after the Great Commission. And Lord, I thank you that your great command is not an option. I thank you, Lord, that you call us all to make disciples. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as you came and met with the disciples in that moment after the resurrection of Jesus, you empowered them with the power from on high. You gave them a touch from heaven that marked them, that changed them. They loved you and they loved people, but they needed an encounter with your power and with your presence. And I pray right now, God, in this moment, would you allow a heavenly exchange to happen? Would you exchange our inadequacies with your power? Would you exchange our excuses with all the promises of yes and amen in heaven? Lord, I'm asking, would you give your people a touch of heaven that would empower them to go and make disciples, to go and be a witness, to go and love others, and to see a community truly know Jesus and experience heaven on earth. God, would you do it again in and through each one of us, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.